Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Ahoy hoy everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, the only podcast that's fan-fugu-tastic. I am your host, Bob Mackey. Who else is here today?
Bob Mackey!
Feels good every time.
Hi, Chris Antista.
Henry Gilbert.
Dave Rudden and my skilled hands are busy.
Oh man, we can see them. Dave, stop that. Anyway, this episode is One Fish, Two Fish, Blowfish, Bluefish, which I will only say once. And in case you didn't know, this is the episode in which Homer eats the poison fugu sushi and has to face his own mortality. But Chris, this episode aired on January 24th, 1991. What happened on this day in history?
Oh boy, Bobby. Oh, the price of a postage stamp is raised to a whopping 29 cents. Apple Computers begs the FCC to set aside just a sliver of telephone bandwidth for a little thing called the internet. And the New York Giants defeat the Buffalo Bills in Super Bowl 15, 20-19, the closest Super Bowl in history.
Internet, that'll never work. I mean, come on.
Man, those poor Bills, they never got to win a Super Bowl. The whole 90s was just watching the Bills lose.
I grew up, but still, I grew up associating the Buffalo Bills with the Super Bowl, not caring about football. But every year, the big game.
Yeah, but they got to be known as like, oh, these poor losers. Like, yeah, for any team to make it to the Super Bowl like 2-3 years in a row, has to be a pretty good team.
Yeah, I think so. I think this episode, though, it deals with an anxiety that America faced in the late 80s, early 90s, and that is the idea of eating sushi. There are so many like movies and TV shows like, raw fish, get the hell out of here. Like, an episode of Doug was about this. Like, Doug's like, I gotta eat sushi with my grandma, oh no!
Sushi and, like, was on the tip of everybody's tongue at this point in the 90s, and like, it took me another 10 years to try it.
I was going
to
ask you guys.
It sounded gross.
It didn't make it to my neck of the woods in Ohio until like 2003,
Florida.
Probably.
Yeah, in Florida, it was a long time coming too. Dave lived in the metropolitan New York.
Yeah, so I mean, I had it like probably the late 90s, but my parents are, I mean, the only time I ever had sushi with them was probably like a decade ago. Well, and they were like, raw fish? Yeah. I don't know.
When I had sushi, I definitely thought of this episode. When I had it for the first time, I was like, yep, this is like on The Simpsons.
It is also my favorite. I do also love the conversation of how they get to the sushi restaurants.
Yes.
All of this is like wonderful, just wonderfully written.
We have meatloaf!
Get it while it's unbelievably hot, kids!
Yum. I've got a dried out end piece with your name on it, Lisa.
Thursday, meatloaf night. As it was, is now, and ever shall be.
What are you getting at?
Well, you're always trying to teach me to be open-minded, try new things, live
what
life to...
What are you talking about? Nobody's trying to teach you that.
Love that.
Boy.
Well, maybe Lisa's right.
It's a catch-up
tomorrow night, it might be nice to go out for dinner.
Tomorrow night? Friday? Pork chop night? Mars! We haven't missed pork chop night since the Great Pig Scare in 87!
Ooh, that
Friday
dates
night,
it.
Pork chops. From cradle to grave, etched in stone in God's library.
Okay,
somewhere.
Okay. Where do you want to go?
Anywhere but hamburgers, pizza, or fried chicken.
Fine! We'll go to Mars!
I love that.
There's a new sushi restaurant on Elm Street.
Sushi? Hey, maybe this is just one of those things you hear on the playground, but isn't that raw fish?
As usual, the playground has the facts right, but missed the point entirely. Sushi is considered quite a delicacy.
Please, Homer, can't we try it?
No!
There's a million things to unpack in there.
Yes.
I love that.
I'm sorry for the long clip off the bat.
It was worth it. I mean, it establishes things.
Having microwave meatloaf for dinner seemed like that's so like low.
I was going to say, like, a lot of episodes open with Marge cooking something, but this looks revolting. Like, microwave meatloaf, can you imagine that? Even when I ate meat, I could not eat a microwave meatloaf.
Meatloaf. The line, get it while it's unbelievably hot.
Yeah.
I also thought it was a very Rugrats opening of just a close-up on a food thing that then is like taken out into a normal.
It's that Klasky Chupo touch.
Yeah. It just sucks because, like, I probably would have. I was open minded enough to go eat sushi, but Tallahassee, Florida didn't get one until like 96.
Yeah. Well, I often think back to how Lisa points out that, like, well, yes, you get the facts right, but it's actually like context means something, yes. And that's the case.
Now it's my favorite food ever, but I did. I think I had the reaction of everybody because it was just one of those things that was joked about, like fucking Zima or something like that. Sushi. So weird people
who would
like
do
this?
That? Yeah.
Though now I've heard from people, like from Japanese people, they're annoyed at the opposite. We think they only eat sushi or they eat it all the time when, like Lisa says, it is a delicacy, meaning it is a specialty food. Like,
It's a sometimes food. Yeah,
first time I ever visited Japan, I'm like, I should get sushi. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I had to walk a long way to find a sushi place. Wow, it was like, you could find almost anything else to eat, like curry or
a lot of noodles.
Ramen.
Yeah. I know this sounds super spoiled of me. Like, we waited for my first day in Japan. We waited in line for 4 or 5 hours
for the
freshest sushi ever it's still moving in front of me. immediately went back to California and, like, this is frozen. I get it now.
This is from China. I can taste
when I had sushi a second time in Japan. It's just one of the revolving dish tray one.
I wish I hadn't done this.
When I had it a second time, I was like, this is better than I've had in America, but this is nothing.
Why do
like
I not like this sushi now?
It is really fun going to this episode with a lot of Japanese knowledge, being a recovering Japanophile, as I probably pointed out before in other podcasts, but like just just going in and knowing that like the chefs scream Irashaimasen at the Simpsons. It's like they're not just screaming gibberish. It's real Japanese.
And as a kid, I heard that it's just like blah, 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 blah. But then to hear it, like they actually... They talk about that in the commentary, that they took pride or they worked hard to hire real Japanese actors to speak Japanese.
Including George Takei.
George Takei.
A happy tsunami.
Please, do not be alarmed. Our chefs are just saying hello.
Oh, okay. Hello!
So the hostess has pink hair. They mentioned that it was one of the things of like how they used to have purple trees on the show. They're like, this is just crazy. Let's just have pink hair. Like
nowadays, you could say like she's just imitating a Japanese pop idol.
Or anime character.
Though they also said they were pushed into a corner because they're like, well, the Simpsons are yellow, so what color do we make Japanese people?
Oh, boy, they took it already. again, George Takei. Did he ever... reprise this role?
He did not. Hank Azaria reprised the role of Akira as the karate or kung fu. I think it was karate.
He was a karate guy. He would be back as the game show host on The Simpsons Go episode.
He would
be that guy. He also famously turned down doing the monorail episode, which we can talk about that later.
That's right.
They mentioned on this commentary, asked him to be a monorail. He said that he was on like the San Francisco Public Transit Commission. He would do nothing to defame public transit. And then they got Spock, and they're like, why did we even ask him? Like, we should ask Spock first.
The Spock jokes are better. But I like this episode because the first act explores things that were probably novel to Americans, like karaoke and sushi restaurants.
Yeah, before we get into that, I just have a little clip. I love George Takei here and Homer ordering.
I am Akira, your waiter. May I take your order?
What would you recommend for a family that's not sure they should be here?
Sushi surprise, a little bit of everything. It is very non-threatening.
Well, I'll have one of those.
Make it two. Akira, my good man. I'd like 2 sharks, an octopus, and an eel.
Very good.
Do you have any giant squid? The kind that drags men to their deaths?
Not today. That's
Yeah, so hard to choose. It all looks so terrible. Just bring me one of these, and one of these, and one of those.
I did enjoy that. I didn't even notice at the time. Accurate to ordering in a Japanese restaurant, Homer gets like a 33-ounce beer.
Yeah.
Which I do every time I go now.
A giant beer.
Yeah. A Duffahama.
Yep. A Duffahama. Yeah.
That's what it was. It was a great joke.
You're mentioning the karaoke.
Right.
Okay, like for the next few episodes, Dan Castellaneta will sing, and apparently it's my favorite thing in the universe.
They must have had a bigger budget for song licensing in season 2 than 1.
Did he play Richie Sakai?
Yeah.
Named after producer Richard Sakai in this episode?
I'm an anesthesiologist.
That's him.
And I'd like to dedicate this next song to my wife, Patty.
I was born in the wagon of a traveling show. Mama used to dance for the money they throw. Papa would do whatever he could.
I love the mouth drawing when he sings could.
They kill a lot of time, including Bart and Lisa singing Shaft.
They say this cat Shaft's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
but I'm talking about Chef.
Then I can dig it.
He's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman.
John Shaft.
So
that is so. But yeah. I'm a little kid. I've
Same
never
here.
Heard of Shaft. I don't know this
never
song.
Heard of that song.
And I
yeah.
love watching it now. That and Bart and Lisa know every word of the Shaft.
70s theme. Nostalgia yeah. would not exist until the next episode.
Yeah. Well,
for the most
was,
part,
this was just them tapping into the 70s nostalgia. Yeah. They later go nuts with in the next episode.
Well, speaking of Shaft, should we talk about like the main cook and Edna Krabappel?
Yes.
Which was for me as a 10-year-old in 1991. Yes. That really piqued my curiosity.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Very salacious, Dave.
That yeah. really, I don't want to say bothered me, but like seeing the idea of Bart's teacher getting fucked.
Yeah.
And like maybe seeing it.
And the chef calls her Miss Krabappel.
Well, he says
or Miss Crabapple.
He says Crabapple.
Okay, yeah.
Like, which I thought was pretty funny.
And we should say the reason Homer is poisoned is because the main chef leaves to go have sex in a
yes,
car with
I have,
Bart's teacher.
I have all of this, and I can't. I can only speculate that this. I feel like some of this will keep this episode from being rerun much further in the future. It seems like there's a lot of white Simpsons cast members doing Asian impressions.
No,
these are all. Yeah,
it's all Japanese actors.
Right. There's got to be something I haven't tried, huh? Hey, what's this? Fugu.
It is blowfish, sir. But I should warn you that one...
Come on, pal. Fugu me!
Really didn't get that as a kid.
She's here. Cut her for me.
Classic
one fugu.
Not fugu. If it is cut improperly, it's
Yes, it is poisonous, potentially fatal. But if sliced properly, it can be quite tasty.
I must get the master.
Oh, Miss Krabappel.
See, he said it, Krabappel.
Yeah, it smells so clean.
Master, you are needed in the kitchen.
I said cover for me, damn it!
But Master, we need your skilled hands.
My skilled hands are busy. You'll do it!
Sorry, I just love this line.
God, those noises are just, like, really porny.
Poison, tasty fish.
You bring that up, but this is a first in a two-part block episode where there will be a busy hands joke and sexy noises coming from a vehicle.
That's right. Wow.
So
there's
a couple things in that they worked really hard to get the Japanese. They
those
worked hard to have the Japanese
three
actors.
Japanese dudes.
They hired Japanese actors to play all of them.
That guy who was like cutting the fish is basically Japanese Otto. Yeah. Like in terms of looks and being incompetent. I'm like, this is Otto.
But also to go back to Shaft real quickly. So the censors were like, you can't sing the Shaft song on TV. It's too dirty. And they had to prove that it had been on the Oscars, like that the song had been sung on the Oscars the year it was nominated, and then that's when Fox was like, fine, you can play it.
There's an implication
dirty in 91.
Starting with his name, but yes, I think the word damn in that song, and it's all good.
The bad
that.
MF-er line is like, you know, talked over or interrupted, so yeah.
But yeah,
Homer orders the most
dirty.
Complicated dish at the. Did they get the name of the restaurant?
Fugu Fish. Oh, Happy Sumo?
Yeah, Happy Sumo.
I did want to point out, Homer's ordering so much sushi, this meal is over $500.
That Thank was you. My yeah. note, too. It's like,
every time Simpsons I go and order sushi, and I always like hold my breath and try not to think about the check.
Yeah.
Because in San Francisco, it's really fucking expensive. So, but
one piece of sushi is like $5.
Not only does he order a shitload of sushi, that weird lazy animation sequence of him eating 18 rolls that just keep reappearing.
It never disappears. Yeah, he just pulls the same one over and over.
Never-ending sushi roll.
Yeah, it was a bit much. But yeah, that was one of those grown-up things you get watching the show. Like, that would be $400. Like, as a kid, you're not thinking how much any food costs.
But none of us were eating sushi in 1991. Maybe they were just trying. Maybe sushi was desperate to make inroads that they were just like really just
taking
a loss.
I'm saying none of
that
bothered me when I was... like 10 years old, except for the never-ending sushi roll. I was
like,
why did
that
happen?
Like, I hope somebody got fired for that.
But so Homer is eats the poison pugu, and it looks like... Ooh,
fugu.
Beautiful language, isn't it, Bart?
God's sake, don't eat another bite!
Oh, I couldn't possibly.
Mr. Simpson, son, I shall be blunt. We have reason to believe you have eaten... poison.
Poison? What should I do? What should I do? Tell me quick.
Oh, no need to panic. There's a map to the hospital on the back of the menu.
Again, I think that's a great joke.
And that menu, it is visible on the back of the menu throughout the entire scene.
Yeah,
it looks really weird.
I feel like he should have induced vomiting immediately instead of just sitting on it.
I think
this probably put me off sushi for another 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I think...
Not that I could tell my parents where to take me when I was 10.
And one last thing about how they portray the Japanese in this. I bet if you were to compare this to any sitcom in 1991 that would have had a Japanese jokes in it or the jokes of the family going to
Seinfeld.
A restaurant... They would have had more racist.
I think the joke about that's a great, that's a beautiful language is casually racist in a way. Yeah. In a way that's like, I accept it for 1991. So, but well, it could have been much worse.
I only care about casual racism as far as my casual racism bingo card. that's all I care about. He gets poisoned. I'm sorry. I took the next couple episodes for some reason hit me really hard. I'll get to that.
They're
in a
very
second.
Emotional.
And this is the diagnosis from Hibbert. These are just a great scene that I cut into two pieces.
If, in fact, you've consumed the venom of the blowfish, and from what the chef has told me, it's quite probable, you have 24 hours to live.
24 hours?
Well, 22. I'm sorry I kept you waiting so long.
Oh, Mark, I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die.
Well, if there's one consolation, it's that you'll feel no pain at all until sometime tomorrow evening when your heart suddenly explodes.
So, like, we both talked about this. Henry and I had it. Dave, did you have it too? The Simpsons was so new and so out there.
Yeah.
And, like, breaking a bunch of rules. I didn't know 100% that Homer was going to live through this
episode. You believe that they would kill him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As a kid, like, I was sure he was dead.
I was waiting on pins and needles to see what would happen. I was convinced there was a chance he'd die.
Though, like,
with 27 years of hindsight, people. I'm sorry.
And Chris and I had the same experience, too. That during the episode, they show a commercial for the next episode, which is The Way We Was, which starts over. It's a flashback episode. Oh. But as a kid, I built in my head that, like, Homer dies in this episode, and they start over from the beginning when he meets Marge, and that's what the show's going to be now. I'm like, it's a dumb thought to have.
What an amazing turn that would be, though.
So as a 10-year-old, it was only 20 minutes, but like, I was wrought with tension in like the whole time, and now I love going back and looking at this now, because some of the tension still comes back,
but I get to
appreciate, like, this is why there's so many clips, because essentially what happens later on is Homer makes a checklist of awesome gags.
Yeah, he invents the bucket list.
Yes.
15 years before the
movie. List. Oh, God.
You're right. It is a bucket list.
It really is, isn't it?
This alone of, like, him coping with the five stages of him dying.
Yeah.
Now, a little death anxiety is normal. You can expect to go through five stages. The first is denial.
No way, because I'm not dying.
The second is anger.
Why, you little dirt,
after that comes fear.
What's after fear? What's after fear?
Bargaining.
Doc, you gotta get me out of this. I'll make it worth your while.
Finally, acceptance.
Well, we all gotta go sometime.
Mr. Simpson, your progress astounds me.
This really feels like a really vaudeville style joke.
Really does.
Like, but
I
they
love
dust it.
It
off and they make it good again.
I love it.
It's so great.
It's a beautiful Homer scene. And it also ends with a first of what would be a running gag in like seasons 2 and 3 of the pamphlets. Like, there's a pamphlet.
So you're going
everything.
To blank.
So you're going to die, so you're
that's
having
the first
a pastor,
one.
Yeah. I think is the, I remember.
Oh, so you've ruined your life, is
so
the pregnant one.
You've ruined your life, that's the pregnancy one, yeah.
And do we want to talk about Homer's bucket list?
I have, like, basically everything from here on out is kind of
okay,
things
I've,
on his list.
I've written down the entire list if you want me to read this out.
Yeah, there are some things that he had to cross off with.
Yeah,
so Homer makes a list of things to do before he dies.
So I'll tell you that.
Here's him talking to Marge about the list in general.
What's that word you use for when you and I,
when we're intimate?
Be intimate with Marge.
Noe.
Can I just make one suggestion? Can we get up early and watch the sunrise together?
Watch the sunrise. Till 6 a.m., my dearest darling, and my last day on Earth.
This still made me really sad, watching it now.
All right, so as a 10-year-old...
Would you go to sleep on your last day?
That's what I thought. I thought, no, there's no way I couldn't sleep if I was going to die in 23 hours.
I'll spend an
hour
finding cocaine.
Yeah. I feel at this point that it's like 3 in the morning, though, so there's not a lot of sleep happening.
But
that
to that extent, as a 10-year-old, I didn't know what be intimate with Marge meant exactly.
Ooh, no,
but
me either.
The fact that he saves that, spoiler for one of the last things, I thought, like, watching it yesterday, I'm like, so they're going to, like, go and have sex right now, right?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, like, why wait?
Why don't we fuck now and then also fuck later? Like, wait, because I will be dead tomorrow.
Not just once.
But Marge isn't
why
dying.
Not,
why
do anything else
on
the list? Just have sex for the next 24
hours. I do love that line. Marge isn't dying. Like, I'm the one dying here, not you.
And one of the things on his list is to something. What's his list say?
Okay, his list. I'll read it out to you. And like, most of these are scenes. So the first item is make list. Then eat a hearty breakfast. Make videotape for Maggie. Have man-to-man with Bart.
I have man-to-man with Bart.
Cool. Do you want me to keep going?
And finally, the little spot under your nose. Next, we take some toilet paper, tear out some teensy little squares, and stick one there, and there, And any place you're bleeding, there and there. Don't worry, the blood will hold it right on your face.
Ugh.
Now, some aftershave.
This terrified me of shaving for a long time.
Shaving like an idiot.
This was post-Home Alone, but it was written pre-Home Alone, so we can give them that pass. But instead of telling you the entire list, I'll tell you what he didn't do. And then because the rest are basically seen. So what he didn't do was make funeral arrangements, hang gliding, plant a tree, and watch the sunrise because he slept in. We should say that like Marge let him sleep until like 11:30 because he looked so peaceful. He's like, I'll have plenty of time for that.
Yeah, I actually would be very mad at her for that. I'd be like, I have only so many more waking hours left of life. How dare you?
And I just love this. I love these sweet moments, and I do sing this on occasion whenever I hear this song.
The Lisa scene.
One of his scenes, his things on his list is to
listen to Lisa play her sax.
Want me to cut out this infernal racket?
Oh, let me hear you play.
Why?
Does a father have to explain? Let's just share your gift, okay?
At least Homer has reason to cry in this time. He cries so much in all the previous episodes.
But the pick-me-up is where it's at.
Huh? Oh. Yeah, that's more like it!
I love this part, too.
Oh, I won! To be in that rumba and a stage over there. Oh, over there!
So whenever I hear that song, those are the lyrics I see. Oh, I want to be in that rumba when the saints go over there.
Yeah.
And one of the things on his list is with Maggie is to make a videotape with Maggie, right? Yeah. But I love this scene. Before he can do that, he has to borrow a camcorder.
Yeah, because, from Flanders.
Because again, filming things was not something anybody could do.
I think what you're going to hear throughout this episode is at least three more things that date the technology of phone to such a degree.
If this episode happened today, he'd go to Flanders to borrow his iPhone 6S because it's got a better video quality than his iPhone 4.
It's more pixels than my iPhone 4. Yeah. David, that sounds very personal and experience.
When I was dying, you and your
family come over for a barbecue tomorrow.
No, thanks.
Oh, are you sure? We got that new propane beauty just sitting in the backyard.
No, I don't want
it. Oh, Flanders it's Brian so out to cook up some good eating.
Flanders, I said I didn't.
Tomorrow?
Sure, what the hey? I'd love to come to your barbecue. I'll even bring the thickest, juiciest T-bones you ever seen.
Mm-mm, sounds terrific.
Joke's on him. I'll be dead by then.
They would revisit that idea of Homer at Ned's barbecue. Yeah.
I wonder if this is a prequel
episodes.
To
because I did. I thought I remembered some payoff to that, like him having to go to Ned's barbecue.
Well,
promising.
I mean, we can cut to the chase. In the commentary, they didn't say if they filmed it or not, but the plan was that the end of the episode would be Homer paying his debt. Like, all the things would come and get him when he didn't die.
Right.
Mm. Burns would want to meet him on Monday. He'd be at the barbecue, and he'd be thinking, I'm sad I'm not dead. I wish I was
dead. I wish I was dead.
Instead, they used recycled animation for that.
Right. And they also brought up that, like, it's weird that Homer dislikes Ned more than he likes food.
Yeah.
Homer loves food, but even in this case, like, nah, I could have free food next door.
He really hates Ned.
Yeah.
I didn't get any clips of that, sadly, but I love the entire sequence of him seeing his father. They do tell each other they love one another, and they enjoy an awesome day together.
There's a ton of, like, this is why Homer has to cross most of the things off his list, because his dad is so, like, love-starved is what he calls him.
That is such a beautiful scene.
It was too touching for The Simpsons. They only made it untouching by just having at the end that Homer was like, I cannot take this anymore. Yeah. Yeah. Like, go away,
a little
man.
Clingy. Yeah. But he gets arrested. He's driving as fast as he can to fulfill the rest of his bucket list. The police pull him over.
Another Eddie and Lou appearance.
They have the right voices for the first
time.
For the first time.
And I don't have that. It was just, I don't know. Again, this is funny to me and no one else. Barney's answering machine. He can't call Marge from jail, so he has to call Barney. And again, you'll never have to deal with novelty answering machine tapes ever again, kids.
God, I missed them. Not really.
Okay, Flash. You get one phone call.
Wait. I can't call Marge. It's our last dinner together.
That doesn't make a ton of
sense.
This
mess.
I should want to be around
Marge. I'll call Barney.
Nobody's here. Nobody's here. Nobody's here.
Damn those novelty telephone answering machine tapes. Thanks a lot, Barney. I just wasted my one phone call on your stupid...
I'm home. No.
Hi, Homer.
You gotta help me, Barney. I'm in jail.
I love this.
Hey,
my
Homer,
line of the show.
Go to the window. Hi, neighbor. I can see you.
Just get over here and bring $50 for bail.
So Barney lives.
$50? What'd you do? Kill a judge?
Yeah. Hank's line of the show, I guess. I don't know if I have that.
That's the joke.
Which one? I can see you?
Yeah, I can see you.
I like our brief look into Barney's life. Just yeah, like what a pathetic, degenerate drunk he is.
Easy, buddy.
My apartment,
it resembles
yeah.
my room. Yeah, my apartment's not unlike Barney.
You guys aren't picking pizza off the ground and eating it.
We're not, yeah, but like I'm really close to a giant fiber cable spool as a dinner
yeah.
table.
Look
at the end tables in the living room.
If I found that on the side of the street, like that would be hipster chic.
Those are
nowadays,
my favorite
like,
things to play with as a kid. No shit. I would literally stand on them and walk around like a circus animal.
Well, I mean, for married friends, like we are, if you're the friend of a married person, you are kind of Barney now, because you're the
true,
person
yeah.
you the person you knew a long time, and you've cleaned up your act and have a wife and kids now, but this other one is still single and living alone.
That just, blew, like,
that
college.
Just, that just yeah. blew my mind and make me 20% happier with who I am.
We're all Barney, though.
I don't need to hear that.
Also, I did like the line, look what else your tax dollars paid for. Like, that was a great... That's a great comeback for
because that is the shittiest thing you could say to a cop.
Yeah,
ever.
Yeah.
Like
Homer just wants to get his ticket and get out of there, but the cops are uncooperative.
Never say my tax dollars pay your salary to anyone.
Exactly.
Until you're absolutely sure that's what your tax dollars go to.
So I guess at this point, Barney and Homer headed to Moe's because he's getting his like one drink with
the
boys.
I have one sequence. I love the
Todd's Burns.
No, when the kid, I have that too. Again, too many clips. the kids and Marge waiting for Homer to come home.
Right, really sad.
Why are we all dressed up?
Because sometimes it's fun to dress up for dinner.
Why are we using the good china?
Because sometimes it's fun to use the good china.
What's with the candles?
Sometimes it's fun to use candles.
Why are we waiting for Dad?
Because we love your father and enjoy his company.
Why are we really waiting for Dad?
Man. That's a really heart-wrenching reading.
And that's, what direction could you get, you are talking to your children about your husband who's about to die, so you're trying to just placate them.
What
it's
I think
very
is great, like,
nuanced.
There was so much planning into this narrative where they set up early, like, we're not going to tell the kids. Like, yeah. I don't think in a later episode they wouldn't even bother to establish that, but here they're like, we're not going to tell the kids. They'll find out later.
If I was Bart, I'd be kind of upset that, like, I didn't get to say a real goodbye to Dad before he died.
That is,
I was like, why did you deny me this?
So my line of the show is, like, I think this was earlier in the episode where Homer is like, oh, no, I'm sorry, it's a little bit later where he's talking to them when they're asleep.
Whatever it is, it's after he crosses another thing off his list. He happens to see Burns on the street.
That's right.
Who has never been portrayed more creepily.
But he loves Gams.
He is gawking at ladies. And I'm not sure, not even Gams,
just the ankles. Aren't Gams the thighs or the legs?
Right.
Or, okay.
I don't know, because like at the beginning, it just sounds like he's talking about a pair of yellow tits. But
Smithers, check out the luscious pair on that redhead. That's it, baby. Work those ankles.
Ring-a-ding things, Burns.
Hey, Burns! Eat my shorts!
Who the Sam Hill was that?
It's Homer Simpson, sir. One of the schmoes from Sector 7G.
Simpson, eh? I want him in my office at 9 o'clock Monday morning. We'll see who eats whose shorts.
Is that Smithers at his most heterosexual?
Yes,
like,
I think
he's
being
it in relation to Burns.
No, I'm just looking at it, it's like that this was not defined yet.
I do think it's humoring, like, because an adult heterosexual man in 1991 would not be looking at ankles with Mr. Burns. You know, he's just like, yes, those are great ankles, sir.
Those are great ankles, sir. No, I also like, maybe it's the second time, but the first time it's become a runner of Sector 7G. One of your blank in Sector 7G.
Yeah, one of your seat fillers.
I miss that.
Yeah.
I miss the Sector 7G.
So Barney convinces Homer to go make one stop at
Moe's.
One last
drink with your buddies.
And again, I love Moe's because that's the reality I'm headed like straight towards at a careening speed, being a Moe's person. But a really good Moe's prank call. I think this might be my favorite one.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Hello, Moe's Tavern, birthplace of the Rob Roy.
Is Seymour there? Last name. Butts.
Just a sec. Hey, is there a Butts here? See more Butts? Hey, everybody, I want to see more Butts! Oh, wait a minute. Listen, you little scum-sucking puss bucket. When I get my hands on you, I'm going to pull out your eyeballs with a corkscrew.
He always says the most foul shit
I
to
still
the
prefer,
kids.
I'm going to use your tongue to paint my boat.
Or I'm going to rip your head off and paint my house with your brains.
That's it too, yeah.
Or I'm going to staple an American flag to your butt and mail you to Iran.
Like but Homer, too, Homer but... says goodbye to his bar crew. And
there's an inexplicable graduate reference out of nowhere.
Yes.
The first ever graduate reference, though. Not their biggest one ever.
It feels like really out of context. Later, like in the grandpa getting married episode, it would make more sense because it ends with a complete graduate send up.
This is them really indulging their first time ever. I'm like, we could just make it look exactly like it. Yeah. Just have sound alike music.
Graduate was a monumental movie for us as the writers, and we're just going to reference it for no reason.
We have the music, and then Homer pounding on the window, screaming, "Marge!" Yeah,
I love that scene. It's like. Bye, kids. I'm going to go fuck mom as fast as I can.
I also did like the one guy at the bar he kissed. He was like, you better be dying.
Told you this before, but sometimes when I'm at work, I think of you and smile. So often I think that, words won't do it. I love you, Mo.
Please, not in public.
Mwah. You better be dying. I love you, Barney.
Whoa, how European.
I love the belch after that line. It's so great.
Classic punctuation of it. But yeah, so that also, another first comes right before they're intimate, that it's the first ever nude Marge in bed, which animators indulge in every now and then. I like the fact that Marge would sometimes sleep naked, like as a character fact about her. Though, as a mom, like, I don't think you could, like... You can never predict when your kids are going to wake you up in the middle of the night with a thing. So I feel like you can't sleep nude. Unless you have to have
a robe
right nearby.
But I think they just had sex. That's why she was naked.
I only have the vaguest of memories of my father being way too comfortable with his own nudity. And like just that exact sequence, like, Dad! E.T.'s coming back into theaters. What? Giant dong in my face. Like, my mom trying to cover him up because he doesn't give a shit.
Before Homer drained his balls was my quote of the episode, where Homer goes into every kid's room. He says, like, he says, goodbye, Maggie. Stay as sweet as you are. Goodbye, Lisa. I know you'll make us all proud. Goodbye, Bart.
I like your sheets.
I like your sheets.
I feel like this is a running joke of, like them going down the line and they can't think of anything to say about Bart. Like in the first episode, the Christmas one, it's like, and Bart, well, we love Bart. You know, like they're just talking about their achievements.
It's that, but just thinking as me, barely just a little kid, this does kind of apply now, not taking compliments well. It would make me happier to know you liked my sheets than to say something nice about me.
I had George Costanza's MLB sheets when I was a kid, and I was like, so proud of them.
I had Simpsons sheets.
Pulling trifectas every night.
I had Aladdin sheets.
I had Simpsons... Simpsons and Garfield, those are two I remember.
Transformers, Bugs Bunny, and Rainbow Bright. Rainbow Bright.
In that order, chronologically?
Fuck, marry, kill.
Did your dad worry about you? Like, why is he getting his Rainbow Bright?
That's definitely, I think I've talked about that before. I really loved Rainbow Bright, and for years, what felt like years, I had to convince my sister to get Rainbow Bright toys so I could play with them.
I love dollhouses, Chris. So,
I didn't want a Barbie, but I was jealous, like, why the fuck doesn't my toy have a pink Ferrari? Like, that's not fair.
That's
I
way the hell cool.
Well, yeah, so and get houses and special play sets.
Had you guys ever heard of Larry King before?
I don't think so, but I mean, like, it's weird to think that he's still doing what he did almost 30 years ago.
He's not dead.
But
by comparison, listen how sprightly he sounds.
Should we say, like,
I am Larry King. In the beginning, God created the...
Yes, Homer is his last...
He's up in the middle of the night and has nothing to do, so he's like, let me...
check out the good book. Ooh, narrated by Larry King.
On tape.
By the way, Hibbert said he'd die sometime next evening. It's about 2 in the morning, I'd say.
I don't think death works like that. It's not like a death sees the clock. Yeah. It's like, you're going to die at 2:02.
I justify it now. Like, Homer has damaged his body so much. Fugu, fuck you. Fuck you. Get in line.
Fugu, fuck you.
Heaven and the earth. And the earth was without Zayr, begat Phineas. Phineas begat Abushu.
You really do need to fast forward for all these begats.
Begat Ahimaaz. Ahimaaz begat. Begat Amariah onward. Amariah begats Ahitub. Ahitub begat.
All those begats, it is useless in the Bible. Like, I get it. Jesus is connected to Abraham.
Here's the genealogy.
I'm sorry I overloaded this whole show with clips.
Oh, no, they're great.
But do you have the end of that tape?
No, I didn't, because it's great, because he throws in a fucking plug.
He's talking to his, like, producer, like, we're going to get some matzo balls.
Yeah, Morty and I, we're going to get matzo balls. really liked Spurs this year. I think they're going to go all
really
the way.
He was wrong. The Spurs did not. Yeah,
you checked.
They didn't win an NBA title until 1999, which was against the New York Knicks. That's why it's
that year the Bulls beat the Lakers, as happened many times during Michael Jordan's run.
Though, that's true. The Spurs did. They had the third best record in the NBA that year. I looked it up. But they lost in the first round.
We cannot allow all the sports talk, Bob.
I'm scared.
Oh, also, Larry King is a super Jewish guy, so he reads all the way to Revelation.
Which would probably take more than a night if you're going to be a stickler, Chris. That would probably take
reading the
12,
Bible?
12
well,
hours.
If he's skipping over all the begats, he's probably skipping other parts, too.
Like, yeah. I don't. He doesn't need much of Genesis. He's like, once the arc's done with, I'm good.
But for the last clip, again, presenting to you, I didn't know Homer was going to survive.
No.
It actually really seemed to me like he was going to die.
I was certain he was dead.
Even having seen this episode maybe like 30 times, like 25 years later, I'm still buying into it. I'm still like touched when Marge goes up to the body, the quote-unquote body.
Yes, and that's why I love this clip so much, because it was... It was such a fucking relief in the beginning. And I really thought we were losing Homer. And Bart was my favorite, so I didn't think I cared that much in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Homer. His drool. It's warm.
My parents had to explain the science of that to me.
Homer! Homer, wake up! You're alive!
All right, stop it. Cut
wake
it
up! You're alive! You're alive!
What are you talking about?
You're alive!
I'm alive! I'm alive! And I couldn't be happier! From this day forward, I vow to live life to its fullest!
And then right to credits?
Right to, like, one of the few non-fade to black credit sequences is Homer watches... Eats pork rinds and watches fucking bowling.
I think it's like Dan Castellaneta improvising the most boring bowling announcer. I can't imagine anything more boring to watch than bowling outside of fishing.
It's one, five, six splits.
Those two are great between each other.
Yeah.
It was the clip of Homer eating pork rinds from Moaning Lisa, which is when he finds out Barney's Bowlerama burned down and then he rushes out.
You could tell it's like old animation, too. It doesn't look as good.
Well, that shows you how much the Simpsons have grown by this point, that they're in the like 11th episode of season 2.
Yeah.
And already they can show you a season 1 thing. You're like, nope, this doesn't...
It looks totally off.
I know this looks totally off.
But, I mean, the joke is great in that Homer immediately wastes his life. Like, they gut punched...
As we all do.
Yeah. I mean, they gut punched the sincerity. Just like, no, Homer did not learn anything. He's going to continue destroying his body and not valuing his time on this earth.
Yep.
And nobody died. Thank God.
Thank God Homer didn't die.
The death jingle is on call
right now. George Takei still alive.
Still
incredibly gay.
Yes.
Yeah, and Larry King somehow still alive.
His newest
wife is younger than this episode.
Oh, dear.
I'm kidding.
Every time I see him, he becomes more like shoulder blade than man.
He's all shoulder pad right now.
He interviewed Stan Lee, and seeing them together, I was like, oh my God, this is two dinosaurs.
Battle of the Mummies. Yeah. Happening live on television.
These two spray-painted skeletons.
They're very bronze, aren't they? So, anything else to say about this episode? Like, as I said before, I bought into the drama, even though you can't kill Homer, period. Yeah,
We've established this now. We established it in Bart the Daredevil.
Exactly.
But, again, I did buy it at the time, and this is a very emotional episode. And, like, this, again, something that I think The Simpsons, if I have a complaint about modern Simpsons, I've said it a billion times, it's the framing and the animation. And it's the non-manufactured sweetness that doesn't just come at the end of the episode.
I think James L. Brooks is a huge part of
the
things that work. Even though I complained about him before in those weird, like, grafted-on endings, like, it does really feel like a James L.
There's
Brooks style thing
a
here.
Lot of sweetness throughout this episode.
Now, as someone Homer's age, like, I see it in a whole new light. Yeah. Like, I was seeing, like, I guess you could say, oh, this is like, what if my dad or some relative of mine died? But now I looked at it as like, well, what if I'm Homer? Like, what if I was going through this? What would I think? Like,
yeah, I'm sure
I wasn't thinking that as a kid.
Probably 35 in this episode or in his mid-30s, right?
It's only a matter of time. In all likelihood, one of us has to get a terminal disease in the next 10 years.
If you do the math in the next episode, they are 34. So.
Yeah. Place your bets now. Who will be the first of us to die?
They just have some fugu fish before this episode. So when they cut it right.
So that was Talking Simpsons, everybody. I am your host, Bob Mackey. As always, you can find me on Twitter as @BobServo, @BobServo. I also host the classic gaming podcast, Retronauts. Go to usgamer.net to find that, or just search for it on iTunes or whatever you use to listen to podcasts. Everybody else?
I am Chris Antista. I host the Laser Time show and lasertimepodcast.com, where you can also find Talking Simpsons, among many other shows, like Video Game Apocalypse, the weekly video game show, Cape Crisis, the weekly comic book show. cheap podcast
the
wrestling show with no weekly attribution.
Yeah, and if you like this but haven't heard the first season, you should go to patreon.com/lasertime. Mm-hmm. For $5 a month of support for us, you get access to the entire first season. You can listen to all our thoughts on those 13 episodes.
Let us be your guides for that rough first season, I would say. That's the best way to watch the episodes.
Can we give a shout out to Eric Nagel It's Eric Nagel's show for having us all on.
Thank you so much for being like buttering us up so much. I mean, so much praise was thrown at us, and I loved it.
Couldn't believe it.
Again, unbelievably sweet, and it's a great episode to mention that happened. Thank you so much, Eric, and I look forward to having you and Matt on the show at some point.
Yeah, let us know if you found us through that radio show. Yeah. We want to know, for sure.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, so we'll see you next week with a brand new episode, guys. Next time. Later.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.